He looked at the other three vicars, cleared his throat, and swallowed hard. Then he drew a deep breath.
"It's as the Grand Inquisitor has already described, your graces."
His voice quivered slightly, yet he met their eyes squarely.
"At first, I genuinely believed Vicar Samuel and Vicar Howard had only Mother Church's best interests at heart. In fact, I believed that for several years. It was only gradually that certain parts of what they said began to sound as if they were contradicting other parts, and even then, I was able to convince myself I'd simply misunderstood. But they had me doing things which made me uncomfortable. Spying on my fellow bishops and archbishops. Gathering information about members of the vicarate, even the Grand Vicar himself. Looking especially for evidence which might have been used to blackmail or pressure members of the Inquisition. And in addition for anything which might have been used as a weapon against the Chancellor, the Grand Inquisitor, and the Treasurer."
He paused, as if gathering his thoughts, then continued.
"I began to realize that what they were gathering was information which might be used against personal enemies in the vicarate. That concerned me deeply, especially when I began to discover certain unpleasant aspects of their own lives."
His mouth twisted briefly in what might have been a grimace of distaste, or perhaps fear.
"I've found that behind the virtuous facade they strove to present, they were actually dedicated to a personal licentiousness that shocked me. Your graces, I'm no prude and no stranger to reality. I know bishops, archbishops, even vicars are still men, that all of us are still prone to the temptations of the flesh, and that too often we succumb to them. I'm not prepared to condemn any of my brothers in God for being weak, because all mortals are weak and fallible. But there are perversions at which I must draw a line. Unnatural lusts and the abuse of children are more than I could endure."
Ducairn's eyes widened. Surely Clinton didn't think he could sell that to the rest of the vicarate? Not about Samuel and Howard Wilson, of all men. Yet even as he thought that, he was struck by how damnably sincere and convincing Stanton sounded. By the way, men already eager to justify the destruction of someone they'd been convinced was their enemy would seize upon such additional charges.
"Well, now I know what terms you made when you sold your soul, Stanton," he thought coldly.
"As my eyes were opened," Stanton continued, "I began to see even more things I'd sought not to see. And then came the war with Caris, and suddenly they were all excited, all eager, over the opportunity, the opening, our initial defeats offered them. I became aware that they didn't care if Mother Church shattered, so long as they were able to assert their own control over whatever remained in the wreckage. They were perfectly prepared for the Church of Caris to grow and prosper, if that would allow them to impose their own doctrinal reform here in Zion and appoint themselves the rulers of Mother Church."
The Archbishop of Hanke shook his head sadly, his expression that of a man who had been betrayed by those he had trusted, rather than a man who was busy betraying those who had trusted him.
"Once I realized the truth, your graces, I decided I had no choice but to take my knowledge and suspicions to the Grand Inquisitor, which I did. And after he'd heard my confession, he said,